Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken. Hello to all of our listeners.
And we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners. Thank you so much for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Both your financial and prayerful support has kept us on the air for over 40 years, and we can't thank you enough for that. That's what allows us to bring you shows like today's. And here we go. Father McKay and I are a part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anybody else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. We're also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us either through the Our House Ministries website or give Maureen a call here at In His Sign, and she can put you in touch with Father or I. A couple of things to note before we get started. Our Matt Talbot Shrine in St. Gabriel Church at the corner of 29th and Dickinson in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We have daily mass at 8:30, and then the shrine's open from 9 until approximately 6 o'clock. Again, that's both Tuesday and Thursday. Come on down. The kids are getting out of school. Make a day trip, bring the kids down, and let them learn a little bit about Matt Talbot and see the Cathedral of South Philadelphia. You won't be disappointed, I assure you. Get in touch with Father or I before you come down, and we can make sure that somebody's there to show you around and introduce you to Matt Talbot if you're not familiar with him. Also coming up on September the 10th is our annual golf outing. We'll be back at Old York Road Country Club in Springhouse, Pennsylvania. It's always a great day. For now, just circle the date on your calendar. We'll roll out more information as it becomes available. And last but not least, if there's any men that are listening or wives or daughters that are listening and you think your husband or father or maybe even your son would be interested in making a retreat, I'd invite you to consider the Edward J. Friel Memorial Group that goes out the third weekend in August. We'll be there August 19th to the 21st. It's the retreat I've been making for 30 years now. And any man's more than welcome. Father's Day's coming up. Great idea for if you don't have a gift idea yet is it would be a gift certificate for Malvern. Why not give them a gift of a retreat? I know sometimes in this crazy, hectic world, you may not like the idea of your husband or father or son going away for the weekend, especially your husband. But I assure you that he'll come back a changed man and a much better man for having made the retreat. So please consider it any weekend at Malvern, but in particular, if you're looking for a familiar face like mine, or a familiar voice anyway, consider the Edward J. Friel Memorial Retreat. Again, that's August 19th to the 21st. So, without any further ado, why don't we start with prayer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And this is the prayer for the canonization of Venerable Matt Talbot. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Monica.
Pray for us.
St. Maximilian Kolbe and St. Mark G.
Pray for us.
St. Francis and St. Clair.
Pray for us.
Saints Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, this is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The numbers, 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or if you're calling from a distance and need to call toll-free, you can reach us at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Especially want your calls as we get, approach the bottom of the hour. When we come back from the break, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. And if God's touched you in a particular way in the recent past, we would love to hear from you. It's our Catholic version of witnessing to one another as to what God has done in our lives so that it'll help you be more aware of what God's trying to do in your own life. We are currently in the 11th week of Ordinary Time. This past Sunday, we celebrated the Feast of the Most Holy Trinity. On Monday the 13th, St. Anthony of Padua. On this coming Sunday, the 19th, it's the Most Holy Body and Blood of Christ, also known as Corpus Christi. And in our secular world, we will be celebrating Father's Day. And we thought we'd kick the show off today and talk a little bit about Father's Day. And, you know, the not how important that day is. And, I'm thinking of a friend of mine. I'll probably get a see it on Facebook or get a text message on Sunday, you know, let me know that Father's Day season goes from Sunday, June 19th until Thanksgiving this year. You know, mothers get a day and fathers get a season. Mm-hmm. But really, you know, the importance of fathers in our life. And we look at so much that's going on in this crazy world of ours. And you hear, you know, people here and there, you know, the former DA of Philadelphia, Seth Williams, talks a lot about, you know, the issue with fathers not being in part of the family and that being the cause of a lot of the violence in the city when, you know, kids, especially young men, young boys, don't have a father figure that they, you know, can turn to just about anybody to look for that father figure and unfortunately, you know, turn to, you know, unseemly types, gangs, and what have you. And so, you know, this Sunday is an opportunity for us to, you know, thank those men in our lives, you know, and our fathers in particular, for the role that they've played in our own lives. And, you know, no father is perfect, and I know mine wasn't, but he did the absolute best he could, you know, with what he had. He was a man that he lost both parents by the time he was 13. Had a little rough coming up being the son of Irish immigrants and poor Irish immigrants, right? So his aunts and uncles that had come over around the same time, you know, they had a slew of kids too and didn't have a whole lot of money. And, you know, here was three more mouths to feed. And so he had a little bit of a rough time of it, but managed to graduate from North Catholic High School, spent a couple years in the service, got married soon after he came out of the military, and, you know, raised four kids with the knowledge that he had and what he saw. And I think that's important. That, you know, I look back and when I got married, you know, you don't get a book as you're walking up the aisle, you know, here's how to be a good husband and here's how to be a good father, that usually we pass along the experiences that we had as kids, the examples that we saw as fathers, and we pass that on to our kids. And especially, I think, in the addiction world that we see, father, you know, how many generations of addicts and alcoholics have we seen where, you know, a kid coming up, if his father happens to be an alcoholic or an addict and that's what he thinks a father is, you know, that may be what they turn to, especially if, in the at least in the case of alcoholism, you have that gene. Because there is a physical component of it. You get that gene that once you put alcohol in, you can't stop. And so, you know, to have a good father is awesome. And, you know, this coming Sunday, we have an opportunity to, you know, thank them for, you know, all that they do. And especially, I know what, you know, now that I've been a father for 38 years, and not the greatest one at that, but you know, I know the sacrifices that we need to make and what we should be doing in order to, you know, take care of our wives and especially to take care of our kids. So to all the dads out there, you know, we wish you all the best this coming Sunday. And for those that have kids that are struggling with addiction and may not acknowledge you, know that it's not through any fault of their own, that, you know, it's a disease that they have. And, you know, we just keep praying that one of these Father's Days, you know, that they'll be clean and sober and able to, you know, acknowledge you for the father that you've always been, that you wanted to be, and recognize all that you've tried to do for them. And I know that can be tough because, you know, we hear it, right, Father, and I'll turn it to you, over to you after this, that, you know, the number of parents and grandparents that call that see their kids and grandkids struggling with addiction, and they try to give them everything under the sun to make them happy so that they'll get away from, you know, whatever it is that they're thinking is going to make them happy. And unfortunately, a lot of times it just enables them to stay in their addiction. But, you know, we continue to pray that sooner or later that God, you know, taps them on the shoulder, thumps them on the head, and, you know, plants that seed that there is a different way that they could be living. And maybe one of these days you'll be surprised and, you know, have a Father's Day where they are clean and sober, that they are willing to, or able to, you know, acknowledge you for all that you've done for them.
Yeah, just listening to you, Ken, made me think of a few things. That what's lacking in the world for so many children is that father image. And I remember when you were saying, you know, like father, like son. And years ago, I remember a commercial. And the commercial went like this. It was a father and a son that were walking down a road going fishing. And the father would put his fishing rod on his shoulder, and the little boy would put his fishing rod on the shoulder. Then the father would go a little farther. He'd pick up a stone and throw it and skid it across the lake, and the little boy would pick up a stone and try to skid it across the lake. And went on for a few examples, and then the father sat down, and he pulled out a pack of cigarettes to light one up, and he put the cigarettes down next to him, and the little boy's reaching for the cigarettes. Like father, like son. Usually I speak about God the Father, you know, the Father of all fathers on Father's Day. Mm. But this Sunday is Corpus Christi, so I would really speak about the Eucharist. But, you know, God the Father, he's the Father of all fathers. And, you know, he gives us our fathers. And I think about my father as well. My father was a small man, but I was a toddler. I'm looking up at my father. And as the group of our guys, you know, the gang would get together, we would brag about our fathers, you know. And then usually we'd say, oh, yeah, my father can beat up your father. And then I remember that commercial or the Superman, you know, faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, can leap buildings in a single bound. And as I got older, you know, I remember as a child that my father, there was a beer game. And it was bases loaded down here at 30 Pinocchio Park, the playground. And my father hit the longest ball to center field. It just about was going over the fence, and this guy leaped up and caught the ball. It was like bases loaded. And if the ball went over the fence, my father would have won the game. But my father's team lost the game. But nevertheless, I felt so proud of my father. My father, he's powerful. He could do anything. But as I got older and older, I saw the weaknesses in my father, you know, and I start towering over at my father. And then I remember the last time I saw my father, I kind of could bend over and kiss him on the head. And that was the last contact and communication that I had with my father before he died. But I look back at my father, and there were so many examples of God the Father. And I really, you know, I praise God the Father for giving me such a wonderful father. And my dad was a daily communicant. You know, he wore all kinds of medals around his neck. I used to say, Dad, don't go swimming. You'll drown. You know, crucifixes all over the bedroom. Oh, and I used to watch my father in prayer. He would just go in deep prayer, like ecstasy. So he gave me the example, really, you know, to be a good Christian. And of course, my formation of my priesthood started with my dad and my mom. But Father's Day, I just wanted to tell this one story about fathers before we go to St. Barnabas. But it was about the emperor, this one emperor, and they had the platform, and the emperor was up on his high chair on the platform, and all the Roman soldiers are coming back after conquering the enemies, the other lands, and they're passing by the emperor with the booty, with the treasures, and the emperor would be looking at all the wonderful treasures. But this little boy broke through the line, and he started to climb up the steps of the platform, and the captain of the guard grabbed the little boy. He says, "Son, where do you think you're going? You know who's up there in that chair there? That's the mighty emperor." And the little boy said, "I know he's the mighty emperor, but that's my daddy." And he ran up and jumped on his father's lap, the mighty emperor. And I think that's how it is for us all, you know, God the Father, especially the reading today, you know, and the reading tomorrow is about God the Father. You know, we're in the Sermon on the Mount, that when you pray, do it hiddenly, the Father will reward you. When you fast, when you give alms, do it hiddenly, and the Father will reward you. And, you know, everything's a reward from the Father. Everything we have is from the Father. And the great gift that he gives us, you know, this coming Sunday is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of his Son, his humanity, that we may be one in his divinity, so that we can climb up on his lap and come that close to him, because he wants us close to him. If I feel myself unworthy, how do I ever come close to him? We're all worthy because God made us so. He made us in his image and likeness. I might not be deserving because of my actions and my behavior at times, but I'm worthy because of who I am, not what I do, because I know I'm not my sins and I'm not my character defects. I'm not my shortcomings. I'm a child of the Heavenly Father. You know? And it's so personal. Think of Jesus all the time. You know, the Father and I are one. And at the end, you know, when he talked to Mary Magdalene there at the resurrection, "I'm going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." He's our Father. He's our Daddy. And he loves us so much. And he's closer to us than the hairs on our head can. But happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there, and happy Father's Day to God the Father. Think about this, Ken. God the Father has no, I don't even know of a church that is in honor of God the Father. And there's no real feast day of God the Father. You know, we have Holy Trinity Sunday that comes close to it. But the Father is so hidden. He's so humble. You know? But someday, I think this is all going to emerge, and the Father's really going to reveal himself more and more out of that hiddenness. And we're going to know him more deeply in our hearts, and that intimacy that he has for each and every one of us. So we don't really have a feast day of God the Father. That's why I always like to preach about God the Father on Father's Day. But anyway, happy Father's Day to all fathers, but also to God, our Heavenly Father.
Amen. And you know, the gentleman that is involved with the ministry that we were sharing yesterday, he was showing me a booklet. I have the same one at home, and I got to find it, but in there, you know, God the Father, you know, there's been a couple of saints and people over the last couple thousand years that have had visions of God the Father. And in one of them was told that, I believe it was August 7th, that God the Father wanted that as his day. So maybe one of these years we'll get around to it. But like you say, you know, he's probably the more hidden of the three, if you will. I remember the very first spiritual director I ever had, a St. Joan nun, and the first time I met with her, she asked me which of the Trinity I identified the most with, and I think Jesus Christ is probably the easiest to identify with because of Scripture and the Gospels, and you know, he came in human flesh and walked on the earth, and you know, we know what he taught and what have you. And I think even the Holy Spirit, we kind of understand a little bit more the relationship between the Father and the Son, and the love being so great that it actually creates a third person. And so, you know, a lot of people can identify with the Holy Spirit, especially those in the charismatic movement. But God the Father's kind of, you know, he was never created, right? He always was. He's spirit, yeah, so he's not in the flesh. Even in when the time comes for the beatific vision, you know, how do you see something that's pure spirit? But anyway, I think it may be harder for a lot of us to identify with God the Father. So these, you know, great people that invest in churches and not invest but donate and what have you, when they're coming up with a name, you know, it's God the Father might be further down the list just because people, you know, have trouble identifying with them.
Yeah. Ken, you know, you just made me think of something, too. You know, where Jesus says, the Father and I are one. And, you know, he's always speaking about the Father. I mean, when you look at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, all the prayers are through Christ our Lord to the Father. And that line that he says, I do the works of the Father, where Philip says, Lord, show us the Father. Philip, when you see me, you see the Father. I do the work, you know, the Father and I are one, and I do the works of the Father. And the Father is so present to us in Jesus. And when I receive Holy Communion, I receive the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because I receive the one God, but the works of the Father. And this is another story I just want to tell quickly, Ken, about when I was a little boy, and this is how my father would always reflect God the Father to me. I would get a lot of splinters playing in empty houses, and I remember coming home with a splinter in my thumb under the fingernail. And the first thing my father did, he set me on the chair and he put a towel, you know, and that I would have to bite down. And he got a sewing needle and he turned on the gas range and he put the sewing needle over the gas to purify the needle. And then he started digging. And he could see that I was hurting. And my father would stop and say, bite the towel, take a breath, you know, bite the towel. And he would dig deeper and deeper. He said, after this, you're getting ice cream. And then he got the tweezers, you know, and pulled that splinter out. And I always remember that, you know, that it seemed to hurt my father more than it hurt me. But he got that splinter out. And I think of God the Father doing the works through Jesus Christ, that we have these seven splinters in us, these paggles, right? This pride, anger, gluttony, greed, envy, lust, sloth. And they got to come out. And these are the works of our God, and this is like the deep prayer that we talk about in our prayer meeting for contemplative prayer. We can do so much, but God got to do the rest. He got to get those splinters out of us. And the Father is always at work, just as Jesus is always at work. Always see God the Father as the worker, you know, with work boots on, who creates everything, makes the mountains and the valleys and the oceans and the forests and all the other good things and the animals. The Father's always at work, Ken, but working through us and working in us with his Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, his two arms that draws us closer to his fatherly heart.
Amen. I want to give out the phone numbers again in case anybody wants to join in. 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or call us toll-free at 888-343-2484. We got about 6 minutes before we get to the bottom of the hour. Father, you want to start on Barnabas?
Yeah.
All right. So Barnabas would actually die around the year 75, not sure when he was born. He was a Jew born in Cyprus. And outside of the initial 12 apostles, he was probably the closest to being a full-fledged apostle of anyone. He was associated with Paul. As a matter of fact, he introduced Paul to Peter and the other apostles. And he would also go on to serve as a mediator between Paul and the Jews. You know, the following, you know, after Christ had ascended and, you know, Paul is struck down and goes through his conversion. And he comes back and everybody remembers him as the persecutor. And Barnabas would be the mediator to try and get Paul into the fold. When the Christian community started to form in Antioch, Barnabas was the one that was sent as the official representative from the church in Jerusalem to bring the folks from Antioch into the fold. And then he and Paul would instruct in Antioch for about a year, and then they went back to Jerusalem. They were charismatic leaders, Paul and Barnabas, and so the officials in Antioch would ask them to start preaching to the Gentiles, and they had great success, of course. And interesting enough, there was a miracle that occurred, so the story goes, and then If people wanted to start offering sacrifice to them as gods, they were comparing Barnabas to Zeus and Paul to Hermes. But they, you know, made sure to let the folks know that they were just like them. They were only human. They were not gods. It wasn't always peaceful with these guys. You know, they would have the run-ins with Peter over circumcision. Paul wanted to go back and visit places that they'd already evangelized, and Barnabas wanted to bring along his cousin, who was John Mark, the Mark gospel writer. But I guess Mark had abandoned him once, and Paul didn't want to bring him along the second time, so Barnabas and Paul actually split up. And Barnabas and Mark would go to Cyprus while Paul took Silas to Syria. But eventually they would all get back together again. So we read a lot, of about Barnabas in the Acts of the Apostles as the church began to expand in the Middle East there.
Yeah, Barnabas, his real name was Joseph. And if we look in Acts chapter 4, verse 36, it reads, thus Joseph, who also was named by the apostles Barnabas, which is translated son of encouragement. And that's what the name means, Barnabas, is the son of encouragement, because that's what he was doing. I know the feast day when we read the gospel, it was Jesus said to the apostles, as you go, make this proclamation, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that's what the apostles do. And he's called an apostle, just like Paul, you know, because they're sent out to preach the gospel. And that's what they would preach, Ken, that the kingdom of God is really, it hems us in, it's so close. And for us to repent and turn to the kingdom of God and live the gospel. But the first reading of his feast day was that he was going around encouraging everyone in their faith, even to be good Christians, even to be martyrs. He would proclaim that proclamation that the kingdom of God is here. But that encouragement was always, you know, you look at the word courage, you know, the Latin word for the middle is heart. You know, to have heart, have that courage. And Jesus is always saying, take courage, it is I. You know, you're going to have troubles in the world, but take courage, I have conquered the world. And this is what Barnabas would go out, the son of encouragement, and proclaiming that great, beautiful courage. Anyway, I know we're coming close to the bottom, and I just wanted to maybe tell a little story about the devil, because it has to do with courage. He said, one day the devil decided to go out of business. For sale, he offered his tools to the highest bidder, hatred, malice, deceit, and many others. And apart from the others lay a small, wedge-shaped tool. This tool looked well-worn, yet it commanded a higher price than the others. This, said the devil, as he got hold of the instrument, this is discouragement. And someone suggested that the price was out of bounds, to which Satan replied, yes, precisely, because it's more useful to me than any of the others. With this tool, I can pry open and get inside a man's conscience when I couldn't get near him with any of the others. Once inside, I can use him in whatever way I wish. It is so worn because I use it with nearly everybody, and very few people know it belongs to me. So take courage. The Lord is with us always, and know that the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.
Amen. And that brings us just about to the bottom of the hour. When we come back from the break, we want to have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment, but we can't have it unless we get some calls of folks that have been touched by God in the recent past. So the phone numbers, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or 888-343-2484. Don't go
we'll
away.
We're talking about St. Anthony, so a lot of people out there had a lot of experiences, otter gods, finding things through
That's
the intercession of St. Anthony. So give us a call.
Amen. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
My name is Mario Diadamo, and I have been a faithful listener to InnerSign Radio Ministry since 1990. and to Kathleen McCarthy as principal host since 2007. Hearing the witness of Kathleen and her guests has contributed greatly to my spiritual growth. They have educated me about the tenets of my Catholic faith by presenting lay and religious leaders discuss topics that help listeners create an informed Catholic conscience. I always encourage people who are in need of prayer and companionship to listen, call in, and become part of our radio listener family by joining thousands of other people praying for your intentions. I personally can attest to the power of the prayers from the ministry. Kathleen often reminds her listeners that you are never alone because the Lord is always with us. Through this Catholic radio and internet apostolate, the Lord is indeed with us in a very tangible way. Please share the good news as Kathleen takes a leap of faith and expanding to a two-hour program to reach many more people who need to experience the love of God. Thank you.
My friends, it is you who have stood lockstep with us in underpinning our apostolate by your powerful prayers and sacrificial financial giving. We have no doubt that you surely are the angels the Lord said he would send to us, and we are forever grateful. These are urgent times, and we need to proclaim the truth of God's word, which alone can set us free. And we need to bring the Lord's healing power, love, and mercy out to a world that is in such desperate need. As your local Catholic radio apostolate, we are humbled and mightily blessed to have your loyal support. For our new listeners who would be interested in joining us, we can be reached at 610-527-2906 or on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and Father Douglas McKay. And it's official, Father, that God is dead. He's not touched anybody in the listening area, I guess, in quite some time now. But maybe I'll share at least one, and maybe it'll prod somebody to pick up the phone and make a call. Have that holy boldness. When you call, it's just like talking to Father and I on the phone. No pressure, nothing to worry about. And but anyway, we were up the mountains over the weekend, and I went to bed on Friday night, and I got a bad habit of just throwing my slacks over the chair there. And I must have had a penny in the pocket. And when I got up the next morning and went down, you know, I looked over and I saw the penny on the carpet, but I just left it there. I went downstairs, had my coffee and breakfast, did my prayers, and sat outside for a little bit looking for my bird friends. And then I went back upstairs, I remembered that penny was on the floor, but when I walked over to pick it up, it wasn't a penny anymore, it was a dime. And I think the next time I go up, I'm going to throw about 1,000 pennies on the floor, and maybe they'll all turn into dimes. the way the stock market's going these days. But anyway, I know when I went downstairs it was a penny, and when I came back up it was a dime. And of course, we talk about finding the dimes all the time, and a sign of God being there. That we need to, just have the faith and know that God is always with us. And the other one that, just relatively quickly, and it even expanded after last night. I shared this one that I've been praying these Most Precious Blood of Jesus Christ prayers for a couple of weeks now. And our friend Harry Pyle ties rosaries, and he's always got string in his hand when he's at meetings and what have you, and he'll be tying them as he's listening. And I knew he had made you a couple of rosaries where it was just the 50 Hail Mary beads, or just 50 beads, so that you could, pray one mystery for 50 beads, or use it for anything else that you wanted 50 for. Well, this one I've been doing is 500. So you go around 10 times. And a good friend of mine, another priest, had told me about it. So I asked Harry to make me two of them in red for the most precious blood. And I gave one to Father Wackerman, and he loved it. And then I made mention of it to another friend of mine, Maureen, who is connected to so many people through prayer, her own prayer group and others. And she saw it, and she absolutely loved it. And she said, "Can you get me 10? And yeah, no problem. Well, then she started telling people. And yesterday afternoon, she told me she needed 54. Then she sent me another text message later last night saying she's up to 63. So Harry's going to be quite busy. The ends of his fingers will probably be red from the dye on the on the string. But you know, honor God that you know that's starting to spread. And you know, Lord knows how many rosaries over the years that Harry and especially Cindy tied. And you know, I think about it all the time. I even said to Harry last night that every time I use my Matt Talbot rosary that he tied, and now my Most Precious Blood rosary, you know, I try to remember him because he made them. And so, you know, he got a little smile on his face.
Yeah, I saw him working hard last night, making those when he sat next to you during our meeting.
Right.
But Ken, tell me, what do you do on each bead, you know?
It's the same prayer. So the it was apparition or visions that a Nigerian fellow had. He was a teenager in 1995, and he was asked to pray, "Most Precious Blood of Jesus Christ, save us in the whole world." And there was also prayers that go along with it. So you'll do that. I do that 50 times, and then at the end of the 50, there's a longer prayer to be released from curses and wounds healed. But the short version of it is, "Most Precious Blood of Jesus Christ, free us from all curses. Holy Wounds of Jesus Christ, heal my wounds. By your scourging, seal me. Amen." So it's 50 of the Most Precious Blood of Jesus Christ prayers, and then that short one in between. And you know, honor God that the first time I listened to it, there's a priest that Kathleen McCarthy has done a few retreats with. As a matter of fact, she has one coming up in August, Father Jim Blunt. And when Father Wackerman told me about it, he sent me a link to a YouTube video. And here it was Father Jim Blunt praying these prayers. And the length of the YouTube video was 33 minutes, and it's like, honor God that my commute from Glenside to Grace Ferry is about 36 minutes without traffic, so I can get the whole thing in on my commute in the morning. And I show up, and I think at least the last couple of weeks I've been a little more peaceful because I'm not listening to political radio or any of the other garbage that's out there.
In you.
Yeah, well.
It's great.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Listen, just one more question too about the penny turning into a dime.
Yep.
Was Sue around? I was thinking maybe did she play a trick on you?
Yeah, really, she wouldn't know about it. I don't know that I ever shared the dime
about
story
the dimes?
With her. Yeah, I don't think she knows about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, that's really something. But yeah, I've had a similar experience in that, and you know, with the lost and found with Saint Anthony. We'll be talking, if we have time, we'll be talking about him soon. But just finding things, you know, just praying. And I told you, Ken, I shared that story with the tie pin with my brother. And I was only young, and it was a tie pin of the Blessed Mother. And I kind of stole it off my brother. I wanted to show it off in school. And I had it in school. And then next thing I know, I'm walking home. I couldn't find it. I lost it. And I prayed to St. Anthony, "Please come around. Something is lost and cannot be found. If you find it, return it to me. Dear St. Anthony, how happy I would be." And then I came home, and I went into the bathroom, and there was the tie pin on the floor. Now, I'm getting the God bumps thinking about that, because I had the tie pin when I left, and how did it get there? It's the same kind of story with your penny turning into a dime. And I even had a similar one with the other one that I shared last night. On Sunday, I'm doing my Sabbath, my night vigil in front of my private chapel there in front of the tabernacle, the Blessed Sacrament exposed, and some reason I was moved to go and get the my guardian angel off the top of my bed there and put it in front of the monstrance. And I did that, and the next day that I woke up, I went and I put the guardian angel back, and I went back, and I when I wake up, I go into my chapel there, that's right next to my bedroom, and I knelt down and to do my morning offering, and there was the card that I had lost years ago, and I thought Pat Kennedy came in and put it there, and I don't know if I even prayed to St. Anthony to find that card. But it was the business card of Jesus, and to get the words, I used to have to go back to my Heaven's Homecoming book because I could no longer find the card. But here's the card now in front of me, and it's the feast day of St. Anthony. And I said, wow, it was like St. Anthony was letting me know, I found this for you. And I just want to read the business card, and really hit me when I read it again. I think the Lord really wanted me to take these words to heart and drink them in. But the business card for Jesus. Jesus the Christ, divine physician and Son of God. Day, night services. No appointments necessary. No referrals. Makes house calls. Absolutely no fees required. Love and sorrows accepted. Available for chats and walks, decisions and complaints. Specializing in ailments of soul, mind, and body. And what hit me, he's available for chats and walks, that he's always at our side, always there, walking beside us. With the Lord at my side, I shall not be disturbed. So that was the Feast of St. Anthony, and he really found that. And the other one that I had, I shared this last night about St. Anthony, was I wanted to end my homily last night with a story, and the story came to mind, if you remember the short circuit story. And, gosh, I said, man, I wish I can find that story because I know there's so many details that I don't remember. And I have all these stories, not in any kind of order, not alphabetical order, chronological order. I keep promising myself someday when I have the time I'm going to put these in order. So I started to pray the prayer to St. Anthony, and I opened up the first folder, and there it was, the story. I said, wow. And I was, as soon as I said, Dear St. Anthony, please, boom, there it was. He acted that quickly. But yeah, lost and found. Dear St. Anthony, please come around. Something is lost, cannot be found. If you find it, return it to me. Dear St. Anthony, how happy I will be. And Ken, I bet you there's a lot of listeners out there that had similar experiences with finding something through the intercession of St. Anthony.
Absolutely. And if they want to call in and let us know about it, the number's 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or call toll-free 888-343-2484.
And so last week we had 6 callers, I think.
Yeah, something like that. The whole second segment was nothing but phone calls. But when it rains, it pours.
Yeah.
And I guess when there's a drought, there's a drought.
Yeah.
But that's all right. A beautiful day. People are probably outside and listening to us as they're driving or something. Mm-hmm. But anyway, you mentioned St. Anthony of Padua a couple of times, and that's the saint that we celebrated on Monday, right?
Right.
He was born in the year 1195. He would die on June the 13th in the year 1231. Gave up probably a life that could have been full of wealth, and decided to join the Augustinians originally. He was from Portugal, so he joined the Augustinians in Lisbon. And while he was there, the first Franciscan martyrs would come back through Lisbon. And, of course, they had gone over to Northern Africa to preach to the Moors and were slain. And so Anthony would witness their bodies on their way back. And now he wanted to do the same thing. He wanted to go preach to the Moors and maybe be a martyr himself. So he joins the Franciscan order, and he sets out to preach to the Moors, but he gets sick. And instead of going to North Africa, he ends up in Italy in a small hermitage, and it was there that he would pray and read the scriptures and do some menial tasks. And story goes that there was an ordination that was going to take place, and apparently they forgot to get somebody to preach. And so I guess they asked around, and Anthony decided to accept the task. And, you know, based on those years of prayer and reading scripture and what have you, that Anthony allowed the Spirit to use his talents. And he gave an outstanding sermon, and they had no idea that he was going to be able to do what he did. And so now they knew the Spirit's power to give people words, especially with Anthony. He was a great man of prayer and great scripture and a theology scholar. He was the first friar to teach theology to the other friars. And from there he would be sent to France, where he would preach to the Albigensians and bring them back into the fold. After that, he would head back to northern Italy for 3 years, and that's when he would make his headquarters in the city of Padua, where he would preach, and he would write sermon notes for other preachers to use. Then in the spring of 1231, Anthony would leave the friary and lived in a hermitage that they say was like a treehouse. And in that treehouse, he would pray and prepare for death. On June the 13th, he became very ill and was taken back to Padua, where he would die after he received the last sacraments. Interestingly enough, he was canonized only a year later and then named a doctor of the church in the year 1946. St. Anthony of Padua, whose feast day we celebrated on Monday the 13th. And just before I give it over to you, Father, I've mentioned it, you know, before that I was never real intimate in knowledge about St. Anthony of Padua. And that day that we were in Ireland in 2015, and we walked into that Franciscan church over on Merchant's Quay, and it was on the feast of St. Anthony of Padua, and I never saw so many lilies in my whole life. And, you know, the Irish, I guess, have a great devotion to Anthony of Padua. The church was packed. We were in the side room there where they had refreshments and what have you. And one of the great memories I have from our trip to Ireland was that feast day of St. Anthony.
Yeah, Father Ken.
Yeah, I don't know if I've told that story on the radio or not. I may have. That I was a priest for 5 minutes. So there were devotions going on in the church. And we went, we were shown back to this room where they had refreshments and what have you. And it was at that church that Matt Talbot would go every month for the monthly communion and the monthly Franciscan meeting. He was a Third Order Franciscan. And I asked some of the people there about Matt Talbot. And lo and behold, they showed me the books that were used to take roll each month. And I probably spent the next hour or so paging through those books. And what was really nice about it is that every time Matt Talbot would move, they would put the new address in that book. So they're going across the columns, they would check off every month whether there were three things: whether or not he made the monthly mass, whether or not he made the monthly meeting, and whether or not he made a contribution. But the great information that I got, and I took pictures of all those pages, was, you know, every time he moved to a new apartment or a new tenement, it would have the updated address. But after I got done going through the books, you had made your way out of that room, I guess, and I come out into the foyer, and you were praying over an older woman, and I kind of kept my distance until you were done, and as you wrapped up, I moved closer. Well, the older woman turned and looked at me, and I was wearing a Tau cross, T-A-U cross, that day. And she looked at me and I guess saw the cross and thought I was a priest, and, you know, says to me, "Father, will you pray over me?" I gave a look at you, and you gave me the nod like, "Yeah, go ahead." And so I prayed over her for 5 minutes. And so, you know, Father, I was ordained and left the priesthood all in a matter of about 10 minutes.
Yeah, that was some
great memories. Great
St. Anthony is really one of my favorites, Ken. And with Corpus Christi coming up, one of the stories that he was processing with the Blessed Sacrament in the Monstrance. And he came across this man, fallen away, I guess, Catholic, didn't believe anymore in the real presence or whatever. But he had a mule next to him. And as Anthony came near him, the mule knelt in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And the owner was moved so much, he went to confession and went back to his Catholic faith. The power of the Blessed Sacrament, that Anthony had that connection. But there's one thing I want to share with it and the people here. St. Anthony's brief. I don't think a lot of people know about that. It's an extraordinary story about his brief. And it was a devotion that began in the 13th century. It seems that a certain woman was grievously afflicted so much that she was determined to put an end to her life by drowning. And while she was on her way out to do this, she passed the Franciscan church, and it happened to be the feast of St. Anthony. And she entered the church while in prayer, and she seemed to see St. Anthony standing near her, holding in his hand a piece of parchment. And he gave her this parchment. This comes from Anthony to this woman who's about to kill herself, telling her to arise and keep it, and she would be cured. And when the vision passed, she found the parchment in her hand, and looking at it, she saw and bore these words. They were in the Latin, but here it is in the English. This is St. Anthony's brief. And a lot of captains on the ships would use this, and other people. But here, this is the meaning of the brief. Behold the cross of the Lord. Fly, all hostile powers. The lion of the tribe of Judah, root of David, has conquered. Alleluia, alleluia. So whenever there's negativities in our lives or difficulties, bad thoughts, even about suicidal thoughts, that the power of this prayer, can St. Anthony's brief, behold the cross of the Lord. Fly all hostile powers. The lion of the tribe of Judah, root of David, has conquered. Alleluia, alleluia. This somehow got to the king, and the woman got sick again, and the husband said, we need that parchment back. But there were other parchments made, and captains of ships, when they had storms, they would take the parchment and throw it into the ocean, and the sea would calm down. But the St. Anthony's brief, so powerful, that prayer. And I used to run with it all the time. Anytime something, temptations, difficulty, just to look at the crucifix of Jesus Christ. Behold the cross of the Lord, and fly all hostile powers. Get out of the way, Satan, get behind me. Because the lion of the tribe of Judah, root of Jesse, root of David, has conquered. Alleluia, alleluia. Powerful prayer, that brief, Ken.
Yeah, no, and, you know, probably can be used a lot in these times. It seems like there's all kinds of demonic or diabolic or activity going on. And whether it's, you know, possessions, obsessions, or just demons acting out, I'm sure that the prayer could be used many times a day by many people. So, again, it's called St. Anthony's Brief. I'm certain that if you were to do a search for it online, that you'll be able to find that prayer.
Yeah. You know, just personal, we had St. Anthony's here really in our area. You know, the guys from the Pocket and Schuylkill would attend St. Anthony's. We attended St. Gabriel's. But St. Anthony's was my mother's parish, Ken, and that's where they were married. I remember going back to their 25th anniversary. I think it might have been. No, maybe their 50th. But anyway, celebrating the Mass there at St. Anthony's before it closed. And now it's to call sanctuary loss. They made apartments out of it. But I remember with my grandmother, and was the Feast of St. Anthony, I figured that out, walking up Grace Ferry Road on the feast day of St. Anthony, we went into the church on top of the balcony. It's the first time I remember being in a church. I had to be maybe 5 years, 4 years old. And I up in that balcony, looking down, it was like the sun's beginning to set. And I see the sunlight coming through the stained glass windows. All the, you know, the smells and the bells are ringing. The incense is rising. The choir is singing. And I'm just in rapture, you know, looking down at all the people, the altar servers, all the priests. It's a high mass, and, you know, and I'm just so totally moved, you know. And it always stuck with me. And it came the time communion time, and I remember Grandmom had received communion. She knelt wrapped up in prayer, like in ecstasy. And I'm looking down at all this glitter, the chalices, you know, and the patens and the light shining on them and glittering and all the ciboriums. And then, you know, Father's putting the ciborium back into the tabernacle. And I'm looking at all this and I'm intrigued. And I pulled on my grandmom's dress. I said, "Grandmom, what's he doing down there? What's he doing down there, the priest?" And my grandmother put her index finger to her lips and she said, "Shh, shh. Father is putting Jesus back into the tabernacle." And I looked up at her and I said, "Well, won't Jesus have a sore back?" I believed because my grandmother told me that that was Jesus in the tabernacle. My mom and dad would tell me. The nuns, McLaughlin's sister Mary's, would tell me. The priest would tell me. The seminary, the saints, you know, the encyclical, the popes. But today, I believe that Jesus Christ is in all the tabernacles of the world, body, blood, soul, and divinity, because Jesus said so. And he ought to know, this is my body, this is my blood. But that first experience of his Eucharistic presence, I know he gave me that, Ken, and he infused that in my heart. It'll never go away. How I can remember all those details, 4 and 5 years old, yeah. Because I was destined to be his priest. And he let me have that first experience of his real presence in his tabernacle. And that was the feast of St. Anthony.
Amen. I'm going to try and squeeze a call in here. Hello, Mary.
Hi. Oh, my God. Father took my what do you call away? I was going to tell you all about the brief. St. Anthony's brief. You can obtain it. St. Anthony Guild Press. I have a very old St. Anthony's Everyday Companion book that I used to do novenas every Tuesday. This great saint who helped me so many times to find things. And through the years, I can't enumerate and it's too late anyway. But the brief is absolutely a very short write-up. You could find it, Ken, through St. Anthony Guild Press. And it's, "Behold the cross of the Lord, fly ye powers of darkness. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered." Alleluia. Wonderful, wonderful. And I'm so glad you're speaking about St. Anthony. He's not a forgotten saint. He's very close to everyone's hearts, especially the Franciscans. And I go way back with my devotion to him, and I got that from my mom also. Wanted to say happy Father's Day to Father Doug, because he's our pastoral daddy. Amen. Father, and to our great God, our Creator, God, Daddy God, who created us in his image, who loves us, and to all fathers who will be celebrating this Sunday, and for the peace and consolation of those fathers who have gone before us. So
amen.
I just wanted to say hello and happy Father's Day to you, Ken, also.
Thank you, Mary.
Okay.
And you sound pretty good.
We're right in time.
Yeah, you're fine. Are we going to see you?
I have even the write-up on that woman that was possessed.
Yeah.
She had a dream, and St. Anthony interceded and left her that copy of the prayer, which was used with much success in similar cases.
Very good.
It's a nice little booklet.
Okay. Will we see you at Mass tomorrow morning?
Well, listen, I don't know if you've been praying for me. COVID. I got the COVID virus.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have to test. I might do it tonight. And then I don't know if I have to stay. I don't know what the procedure is.
All right.
I have to remain a couple days longer or what.
Okay.
I have no idea.
All right, well, we'll look for you. If we don't see you tomorrow, we'll see you next week.
Yeah, so I haven't shown up since last Tuesday at St. Gabriel's.
Right.
I miss being there. Okay.
All right, dear. You're in our prayers.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Mary. I can't get a word in.
Yeah. Nah, sorry. We got 15 seconds left.
There's another call.
That's for the 5 o'clock show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
well,
blessing.
Anyway, there's a lot more we can say about St. Anthony. But,
call back at 5:30.
Beautiful, Ken.
All right, Father.
Peace to St. Anthony. So, should I end with a prayer now?
Quick blessing.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Through the intercession of all the saints and angels, and may the Lord bless us with a deeper faith in his Eucharistic presence, and bless all of our fathers, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God bless all, Ken.
All right, Father.
You. Happy Father's Day.
Thanks, pal. You too. I'll see you in the morning.
Okay.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
For our listeners, I believe our guest is already on the line. We're going to be talking about Padre Pio when we come back from the break, so don't go away. We'll be right back.